In 2026, a drug designed entirely by artificial intelligence is being tested in human cancer patients for the first time. The discovery phase, which once took years and cost hundreds of millions, is now being compressed into months. Is this the end of the traditional pharmaceutical lab as we know it? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in the life sciences, a theme we're calling the clinical proof era. For years, we've talked about AI and drug discovery as a future prospect. As of this month, July 2026, it is a clinical reality. We'll look at Google's Isomorphic Labs and In Silico Medicine, who have AI-designed drugs in human trials right now.
And we'll connect that to the manufacturing and investment ecosystem. We're seeing a flood of capital, with companies like Xaira raising over $1 billion. But also a new focus on the critical role of data and partnerships. This is a moment of both immense opportunity and strategic risk for Western firms.
Let's start with the biggest headline, Troy. Isomorphic Labs, a Google DeepMind spinoff, just announced on July 16th that its AI-designed oncology drugs have entered first-in-human clinical trials. What exactly did AI do here?
Isomorphic used its AlphaFold3 model and other proprietary AI to design these new therapies from the ground up. The AI predicts how complex proteins interact at a molecular level, allowing it to design a drug candidate with high specificity and efficacy in a fraction of the time of traditional methods. This isn't just using AI to screen existing compounds. This is generative AI creating novel molecules.
And they're not alone. Another article from July 10th notes that In Silico Medicine's AI-developed drug, rentisertib, is already entering phase 3 trials for a lung disease. So this is a real trend. Why is this specific week so significant globally?
It marks the transition from computational theory to clinical validation. For years, the question has been whether an AI-designed molecule could successfully navigate the demanding preclinical and regulatory process. With Isomorphic entering phase 1 and In Silico in phase 3, 2026 is the year we get the answer. This puts immense pressure on the entire pharmaceutical industry to adapt.
Okay, let's make this real for our listeners. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For biopharma manufacturers, it means preparing for a faster, more diverse pipeline of novel molecules. These AI-designed drugs may have unique manufacturing requirements. For technology manufacturers, it validates the need for high-performance computing infrastructure and specialized software. The entire R&D and production workflow is about to be supercharged by AI.
And for trading companies and distributors, what's their angle?
The competitive advantage is shifting. As the article on Xaira raising $1.3 billion highlights, the new currency is high-quality preclinical data. Trading companies should be looking at partnerships not just for molecules, but for data access. Companies like Chai Discovery, with a new $400 million raise and a Novartis collaboration, show that the value is in the AI platform itself. Sourcing opportunities now include licensing AI design engines, not just compounds.
So, what's the immediate actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
Western executives must conduct an audit of their proprietary data. That data is now a strategic asset to train AI models. They should immediately initiate pilot programs with leading AI drug discovery firms, like Chai, Xaira, or Isomorphic, to understand the capabilities and integration challenges. Waiting is no longer an option. The clinical proof is here.
Let's pivot to a technology that is already a commercial reality, antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs. We have a flood of news here. On one hand, Merck and Kelun Biotech announced on July 15th that their ADC, sac-TMT, outperformed chemotherapy in a phase 3 lung cancer study in China.
That's right. And an ASCO podcast from July 13th confirms this trend, stating ADCs are no longer last resort therapies, but are rapidly moving into frontline cancer treatment. We now have 12 ADCs approved globally, with over 300 in development. They are becoming a new standard of care.
But on the exact same day, July 15th, Biospace reported that Pfizer is discontinuing a Seagen-developed ADC program, SGN-MESO-C2, for solid tumors. This comes just weeks after another Seagen ADC failed a phase 3 trial. So are ADCs magic bullets or not?
They are more like precision-guided missiles, but the guidance system is incredibly complex to get right. This is exactly what the technical guy from ChemExpress on July 9th emphasizes. The success or failure of an ADC often comes down to the linker technology, the chemical bridge that connects the antibody to the cytotoxic payload. If the linker is unstable, the payload is released too early, causing systemic toxicity. If it's too stable, it doesn't release in the tumor.
So the Pfizer discontinuation doesn't mean the whole technology is flawed, just that their specific missile missed the mark. What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It creates a massive opportunity for specialized contract development and manufacturing organizations, or CDMOs. Building an ADC is not simple. It requires expertise in antibody production, potent payload synthesis, and complex bioconjugation chemistry. This is why we see a company like Lonza in Switzerland offering integrated services from antibody to sterile fill finish. They have dedicated suites in Visp just for this. And Bora Biologics expanding its U.S. capacity 1,000 liters in Rockville, Maryland, shows the intense demand for secure, domestic ADC manufacturing.
What should our trading companies and distributors be focused on here?
They need to move beyond just the antibody and look deeper into the supply chain. The key components are now the proprietary linkers and novel payloads. The article on optimized NAMPT inhibitors as a new class of ADC payloads is a perfect example. Sourcing these advanced components and understanding their compatibility is a huge competitive advantage. It's about knowing which technology combination, the right antibody, linker, and payload for a specific cancer, is most likely to succeed.
Actionable insight for executives in this space.
Don't be swayed by the simple ADC label. If you are considering investing in or partnering with an ADC company, your due diligence must focus intensely on the linker and payload technology. For manufacturers, investing in bioconjugation capacity and expertise is no longer speculative. It's essential infrastructure for the future of oncology.
Now, I want to talk about what's coming next. We have a wave of entirely new ways to treat disease. Pfizer and Arvinas got FDA approval this year for VEPPANU, the world's first PROTAC drug. Troy, what is a PROTAC?
PROTAC stands for Proteolysis Targeting Chimera. It's a key technology in a field called targeted protein degradation, or TPD. Instead of just inhibiting a disease-causing protein, a PROTAC acts like a molecular matchmaker. It brings the target protein to the cell's natural garbage disposal system, the ubiquitin proteasome system, and has it destroyed.
So you're not just blocking the protein, you're eliminating it entirely. Why is that a big deal?
Because it allows us to go after targets previously considered undruggable. Many disease-causing proteins don't have a neat pocket for a traditional drug to bind to and inhibit, but TPD doesn't need that. As the article from European Biotechnology Magazine on July 13th notes, the field is evolving rapidly beyond PROTACs to molecular glues and degrader antibody conjugates, with applications moving from oncology into immunology and neuroscience.
Speaking of neuroscience, another major challenge is getting drugs into the brain. Ractogen Therapeutics published a study on July 15th in Nature Medicine about its new therapy for ALS. What's the breakthrough here?
The breakthrough is the delivery system. The therapy, RAG-17, is an siRNA therapeutic, which works by silencing a specific disease-causing gene. The historical challenge with RNA therapies for neurological diseases has been getting them across the blood-brain barrier. Ractogen's proprietary SCAD technology, or Smart Chemistry-Aided Delivery, modifies the siRNA molecule itself to enhance stability and facilitate its passage into the central nervous system.
We're seeing a pattern here. The innovation is as much in the delivery as it is in the drug itself. How should U.S. and European manufacturers prepare for these new platforms?
These are highly complex biologics. Manufacturing a PROTAC or a chemically modified RNA therapeutic requires a completely different skill set and infrastructure than traditional small molecules. CDMOs like Cytovance Biologics, which recently added perfusion capabilities, are positioning for this. Perfusion allows for higher density, continuous manufacturing, which is often better suited for these sensitive and complex products.
And for trading and investment firms?
The key is to invest in the platform, not just the product. For RNAi, the value is in delivery technologies like Ractogen SCAD or the new anti-clastic cyclic RNA platform from Alloy Therapeutics. For TPD, it's about the expertise in designing degraders. These platforms will generate dozens of future drugs. Early access through licensing or partnerships is critical for building a long-term portfolio.
And the actionable takeaway for our audience?
Executives should task their strategy teams with mapping the landscape of these enabling platforms, TPD, advanced RNAi, and blood-brain barrier delivery systems like the one Denali Therapeutics just got approved for Hunter syndrome. These are not just individual drugs. They are foundational technologies that will define the next decade of medicine. Secure access to them now.
All right, Troy. It's been a packed week. Let's distill this down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners in the U.S. and Europe?
First, the clinical proof era of AI drug discovery has begun. AI is no longer a tool for optimization. It is a platform for creation. Your company's proprietary biological and chemical data is now one of its most valuable assets for training these AI models. A data strategy is now a core R&D strategy.
Second, the ADC market is maturing into a standard of care in oncology, but it's also revealing its complexity. The lesson from Merck's success and Pfizer's discontinuation is that technical excellence in linker and payload technology is the key differentiator.
Exactly. This creates a critical need for a resilient, specialized supply chain for these components and for advanced manufacturing capacity, which companies like Lonza and Bora are rushing to provide. And third, the next wave of therapeutic modalities, targeted protein degraders, and advanced RNA therapies is breaking through. The competitive frontier here is the enabling platform technology, especially for delivery to challenging targets like the brain.
So the action plan is clear. Leverage your data for AI, double down on technical expertise for ADCs, and scout emerging platforms for the next big wave.
That's the strategic view for this week. It's about moving from hype to execution across the board.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. We help you cut through the noise to find the signal in technology and business. Join us again next week for your strategic briefing.
Thank you for listening.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcast to make sure you never miss an update.